47 of the Beyond Retro podcast. The whole table is here today, as expected.
I'm about half here.
Okay, well, Nasty Nate's half here. Joe, maybe a quarter or quarter here, three quarters here. Hell, I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. I'm all here because, by God, I've waited a long time to have this kind of discussion just with people in general, let alone on a podcast. So we're talking the sequels to Jaws today, and maybe sprinkling a couple of other shark films, but that's the focus today, is talk about the Jaws sequels. Why the hell would we be talking about the Jaws sequels? Well, like, I pushed this for Joe and Nathan because these films, they get talked about, but they seem to be quite divisive. But because they're troubled shoots, films that clearly had good intentions but didn't end up as good as they probably should have been, I've always been fascinated by that. Movies that might people might call like train wrecks. You know, and that's fascinating to me. And I have a great appreciation for the sequels for a multitude of reasons. And being that Joe has just seen them recently and Nathan hasn't seen them in a long time, I'm anxious to hear what they have to say, especially. So I appreciate them taking time to humor me in discussing the Jaws sequels today.
Fuck you. No, I'm kidding.
I expected that, people. For any Jaws fan or enthusiast, you're going to have to expect that kind of malarkey.
No, where to begin, really? You were talking about troubleshoots, and when you go in and you start to do some research on all of these, you find out that actors didn't really want to do the movies, but, you know, went through them because of contractual obligations and things like that. And, you know, the first film had its problems as far as, you know, getting the shark to work and things like that, and that also became a problem. But then you get to part three, and that's one of those things where you know, gimmicks are just, man, that time period is like, we're bringing 3D back, and it but I will kind of defend part three when we get to it a little bit, not entirely. But they are enjoyable, but I'm going to say this outright. I should have stopped at one, probably. I
thought two was good. I really enjoyed two. Three was just, it was pretty rough. See, I've been, you know, as Tyler said, I haven't seen them in years, and I was just fortunate enough to catch a marathon on AMC. So I don't know how much stuff is edited out. I don't know if there was more violence, blood, anything. I honestly do not know.
You honestly probably didn't. I don't think that much stuff gets edited.
AMC will play the altered version of the ending of Jaws: The Revenge, and I think Jaws 2, I don't know if they played the actual extended death of the helicopter pilot that's sometimes televised. It's not in the theatrical cut of the film, but sometimes on TV they'll add in the deleted scenes of Jaws 2 into the televised version. I don't know if Joe saw that or not.
No, it's hard I'll to say. Yeah, well, from what I've seen, like I said, at least from the second one, I mean, yeah, we'll discuss all of them, but I mean, I enjoyed the second one. I felt like it flowed really good from the first one. You know, there's some of those annoying people that are out there that you just wish would get killed by Jaws, especially that one screaming girl with the driving.
I know Jack. I think everybody universally despises Jackie because of all the screaming she did.
I was like, please just kill her. But no, then the third one came, and see, my last memory of that was being at the theaters, and I've said it before. I had the 3D glasses. I was waiting to see this, you know, see it with everybody else. But for whatever reason, just these glasses, something, the effect of whatever was happening that day at that theater just didn't come across well. So I'm taking my glasses off, trying to watch it back and forth. And it was just more hurting the eyes and confusion than anything. I was just a young kid at the time. So I said, this was horrible. So I've never revisited it until recently. But I mean, even now,
God,
it's like,
wow.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah. It's been that long, but I watched, I was like, oh man, that was an hour and a half or however long it was, like that. It was a waste. It just, God, I didn't enjoy it all. The only thing that was interesting to me was the panic of, like, being pictured being caught underground in an underground, like, you know, that water area walkway,
yeah,
where they had
to, yeah, yeah, the undersea kingdom where they've got the tunnels going underneath the way up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause for me, I Jesus, like anybody, I, yes, you panic. You'd be frightened, thinking, oh my God, this water's coming in. You could die. And then there's a shark, and, you know, it'll happen. And then the fourth one, is interesting, which we'll get to, but two, I really enjoyed. I felt like it kind of just goes with one. I could watch them both and enjoy them equally. The third one, I did not enjoy at all. Just, you know, there could be parts that could be redeemable. And the fourth one was interesting, I could say, which we'll get to. I did want to mention one thing. Before the podcast started, this is a quick thing. It's a quick side rant. Tyler wanted to make sure I ate and drank and everything, and I did. I had some food. I got my nice water here with a brand-new straw that ain't broke. But, see, I treated myself to a dollar hamburger or a double hamburger, dollar double hamburger, and a fry today at McDonald's. And on the way out, there was this toy laying on the ground. I was like, how the hell did some kid lose this Mario toy, man? It's got a little clicky thing. And
Oh, man.
Shit, so got a free Mario toy just laying there in the ground. So.
See, now I'm just picturing, you know, like,
I don't go through the trash receptors looking for garbage.
No, I know. I'm imagining Joe walked into McDonald's. He got his food, and he's walking out with the bag. And then, you know, one of those happy, upbeat songs is playing. He's just sort of skipping along. We're obviously wearing the mask.
The mask, too, yeah.
He's just looking around like life is great. And then he looks down, and he sees this toy.
Hell yeah.
Picks it up, and it's like, oh, man. They just keeps on getting better.
It is. It's like, man, it's just getting better and better. So it's pretty good. Wasn't scuffed up or nothing. It's got a cool gimmick.
Sure there's probably some poor kid out there that's like having an awful day, back there crying. Yeah, lost their. That's probably their favorite toy too.
And Joe's just laughing the entire time because he knows some kid lost it and he's crying about it. And that's all Joe's doing, just laughing while he's eating his hamburger and dipping it in the special sauce.
Right.
It's fun to think about what, and I do this a lot just because it humors me. I you know, putting Joe in situations like you picture Joe eats, but somehow there's like ketchup stains on the mask. You're like, well, how the hell did he eat? We don't know. But that's what the remains are at. They're on the right. Mask.
It
doesn't make any damn sense, but we don't ask kind of questions anymore.
Exactly. And like I twisted the story, I really didn't find this. When the kid was walking, I like bumped him.
You took it?
Snatch. You're like, you little fucker, that's mine. But no, so that's cool. So I got something right there. So there, that's my quick side rant. Had to mention it. Food always comes up, but I had to mention I found a free toy, so you can't beat that shit.
I love how Joe said he did go to the dollar menu at McDonald's.
Well, you do. You know, they'll charge, like, I don't know if it's $1.79 for, like, a double cheeseburger. It's like, I don't care about the cheese, so I say I want a double hamburger, and it's only, like, $1.
Wait. You don't even do cheeseburgers? That's all hamburgers?
Well, yeah, because the cheese costs too much more money. So
Too much more?
Well, listen, I was saying you can get a double hamburger for $1.09. But then a double cheeseburger is like $1.79. It's like
I like how he has it down to a science.
Well, I'm not paying this.
Why don't you just get like the dollar cheeseburgers that are just $1? Get two of those.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm getting a double hamburger, so I get two pieces of meat on that. I get two pieces of meat, and it's $1.09. So, bam, you make out right there. $1.09, I get a nice double hamburger. Two pieces of meat, and then $1.09, you get your French fries. So,
to the penny. He's got it down.
Yeah, I
dropped a penny getting out of my car to go to the smoothie place. I just picture like Joe's hand that kind of comes out from underneath my car, like Pennywise the clown just reaches out and grabs the penny.
That's got to be some thing we always envision me snatching from out of nowhere.
Ever since Joe was on that rant a few weeks ago about how he can't stand like not picking up pennies, I'll drop a penny. I'm like, I'm not picking it up. I don't need a penny because they get in the way. And I just picture Joe's just like his head just kind of peeks out from the side of like a real skinny tree. You know, he just somehow managed to hide himself behind like this. Just
the stop sign, even a stop sign pole. You see,
yeah, even a stop sign. All you can see is the red mask.
It's kind of like Encino Man when dude pops in a frame. And
yeah,
just shakes his something like that.
Yeah, that's what happens with Joe all the time because it's always fun to picture Joe in any kind of scenario like that because of the mask.
I think he's the only person that just picks up pennies. Like I see a penny, I'm like, that's not even worth my time.
No. I don't pick up loose change anymore either for the most part. I feel like, you know what, if someone really wants that, I don't need it because change just gets in the way all the time. So I do have a piggy bank to get change in.
I mean, unless you're going to an Aldi grocery store and SSJ Mitts let me know that it costs a quarter to retrieve a cart. And he thought that was bullshit, so he just left the store. Which it is.
Too. When I go to Aldi's, that's what I love, you know, because you can get milk there real cheap. But when you leave, I always look at those carts. Sometimes people forget the quarters, and bam, you pop up. No, I mean, it's there. It's quarters. You know, you get four of those, you got a sandwich. It's like, how could you pass up a quarter? I'm sorry. Hey, Giannis and Jake Juggalo and Iceman Traveler and SSJ Mitts in chat.
You know, I could see Joe now. He stumbles across a quarter somewhere, and he's like, well, now I can go to Aldi's and get some milk. Wow.
Well, it all adds up, but yeah, let's get back to Jaws.
All right, well, let me just we'll just kind of go down the line chronologically. We'll just start with Jaws 2, of what you guys liked and what you didn't like. Because overall, nothing's going to compare to the first film, but I felt like Roy Scheider brings it and kicks ass for a movie that he didn't really want to do. I think he does a wonderful job as Brody and his rise and fall, or his fall and rise in the film, you know, of everyone fighting him, and that's what makes it more interesting. He's just so fixated on that. Something's not right here.
And well, I mean, he's been screwed up from the events from the first film. You know,
yeah.
He is. I mean, you see it. He doesn't even want to get on boats or anything anymore. Like, he's just like, I'm done with that. I don't want to do it. But he's also just really paranoid. Honestly, he was kind of the best thing about the movie. Everything else was fine, but it almost felt like they were trying to do too much maybe in their heads think that they were improving on the first film. It's like, well, let's have some more action beats here. Let's have some more stuff going on, some more stuff. And it just, I think by the time it got to the end, and when you compare it to part three and Revenge, it almost seems like they were trying really, really hard to make it super, super serious. And I felt there towards the end, it got kind of, a little silly almost.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's the part I was telling you about, and you're like, oh, well, this is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It honestly, part two felt to me like, almost in a way a parody of itself. Like, they were trying so hard to make it like serious and good that ultimately the final product to me seemed a little silly, a little hokey. To me it falls more in line with parts three and Revenge than it does swing back towards the original, at least for me. Like, Joe brought up, I can't remember the character's name, but
Jackie.
How she was just screaming there at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can all universally agree that is pretty annoying. They probably,
even as a kid, I thought, yeah, God almighty, she won't shut up. Yeah,
I never liked any of those characters that would do that nonstop screaming. I mean, but no, honestly, that was the only thing I didn't like in the movie, was just her. She just annoyed the hell out of me. But I mean, I always loved the character. Like you said, Roy Scheider is, you know, Brody. I always feel like Joe should always have him, you know, and of course we know we didn't get him in the ones after part two, but it's like he... Like how I sometimes say Halloween, you know, you got Michael Myers, but you have Donald Pleasance as Loomis. And it feels like, you know, with them, that also creates Halloween. And sometimes when one of the characters is gone, it feels off. And I felt like, you know, I would have loved to have him and the others. But from what you guys say, there's all this behind-the-scenes stuff, which I know nothing about the behind-the-scenes stuff of why people aren't in the movies. But I still enjoyed part two, you know, really well. Like I said, he's so paranoid. He's freaking out when he's thinking a shark's there, and then end up being like a school of, what, bluefish or some kind of fish or something. I mean, you could just see the paranoia in this poor guy all the time. And then when it ends up there is a shark again, he has to step up to do what he does best. But... you know, I liked it. They create a lot of tension, you know, towards the end, as annoying as Jackie could be, and even, let's say, some of the other kids, just the thought of, what if you were all trapped out there, and you had no fucking way of getting away, you know, you can't get back to land, and you're stuck there, and there's this shark, that's a scary-ass situation, and it did have that cool ending. I love that part where he's banging the cable, you know, to make him come, and then I love that, I always loved it, I still do, I love that.
It's epic as hell, I thought. I love
it
that
is.
Thing. It's the music. John Wayne's score, the shark comes charging underneath the water. I mean, and Roy's just like, come on over here, you big bastard.
I mean, and I want to say, like, even though that I said that it came across as a little hokey, I'm saying in just its execution, it seems more that it's more in line with part three and Revenge in that regard. Like, I think about how they did it in the first film. And with this, it's just like, let's ramp it up. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass.
Feel like I'm glad they didn't try to duplicate what was done in the first film, like having guys stuck out in the water instead.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's fine. I'm just saying, like, it was just kind of.
Well, all right, look at this. Right, what about in terms of like it being a Roy Scheider film? Because to me, he is the star of the film, other than the shark itself. You know, he's the one that saves the day. It's being told through his eyes. Like, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he goes to town hall and confronts the town council and the mayor about, look, that's a shark. I'm not going through the hell again. You know, that's probably my favorite scene that Roy delivers in that movie. And to me, that just kind of helps sell building up and waiting for him to finally find out, yes, there is actually a shark. And that's not till the very end of the movie, but you're so behind, you know, all right, no one believes me. I've been fired. He gets drunk and then goes out to get the kids because Even though he doesn't know it's a shark until Tina, they find Tina's, you know, stuck on the boat and yells, there's a shark. And
that was probably my favorite kill is when her boyfriend gets that and he's just in the mouth and going towards the boat. Yeah. That's my favorite. I'm just saying, like, I like Jaws too. I like it, but I'm just saying that in terms of there at the end, it's just the veering to you could see that this is like the direction that the series is going to go, if that makes any sense. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just, it's not bad. I'm just saying like they wanted it to be kind of serious and I'm just kind of laughing at it. And
the way they had to kill the shark at the end of part two, did you think they're trying to top it too much? Cause I mean, you know, eventually that, they find a different way to do it, but I thought it worked great.
It's during that part where I think, maybe I'll have to watch it again, but there's a part where Jaws is coming up and he hits the ship. And I don't know why they used this take, but you almost just see the shark's head just sort of bend a little bit.
Oh, you're talking about when he's trying to eat Mike, and they're going for that shot where he's trying to eat Mike and scuffs the boat.
Yeah, and then it just.
Well, I just blame that on the mechanics of the shark, and you can see the mechanics actually in the shark during that shot as well, and it kind of leans a little bit. I get that.
That's what I'm saying. But, like towards that part, it's just between the take that they used there and that, it was coming across as how I don't know. I'm gonna stop repeating myself with that one because it's not that it's bad. I'm just saying that. You could see where the franchise was going. I'm just gonna leave it at that because I've said that like 7 times already.
I don't say it at all. Like I still feel that the movie is played straight, it's played serious, that you don't have compelling characters like, you know, Hooper and Quint, so you gotta rely on you know, Brody and these kids, which there are some likable kids in the group, and then you got a couple of obnoxious ones. You know, as a kid, I thought Sean was obnoxious, but as an adult, I'm like, you know what? The actor who played Sean does a pretty damn good job. You know, I thought he did good. You know, Mike's playing the I want to go hang out with the girls, I don't know what my dad tells me kind of thing. And I like, you know, the mayor's son and Clark, who Clark was supposed to have died in the and I don't know if maybe they shot it. You know, the guy who's wearing like the life jacket and like the sailor cap on his head. It's all is available. It's like if you Google it, there's a shot of Jaws approaching him after Jaws has knocked all the boats out, comes up to the center. Clark is on one of the boats and Jaws is coming at him. And I guess like his leg gets severed or something like that. It's hard to say, but I think that was cut due to violence issues and stuff like that. But, you know, Tina and her boyfriend, That's an epic scene in the movie as well. Him tearing the boat, you know. There's some good like shark attacks too. That's why I don't feel like Jaws 3. There's a substantial drop in quality. In terms of shark effects and stuff. But Jaws 2, you know, the shark looks pretty damn good in it. It's shot pretty good. All the deaths. Like my favorite death in the movie is when Marge gets eaten, because as a kid I just thought it was cool, but as an adult it scares the shit out of me when she's putting Sean up on the boat and you see Jaws' mouth open underneath the water and eats her whole. I'm like, holy shit, man. God, I mean,
that's why he doesn't want to get such in the water in part three.
Yeah. It's such an effective shot of him underneath the water like that. I find that very haunting when I watch it to this day because it was done so well. And I just grew to appreciate it more as an adult. I watched it once as a kid thought was pretty good. And then I didn't see it again until USA did like a themed week of Critters, Beasts, and Bugs week. And each day they would play a monster movie. Jaws 2.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it was, and they all, oddly enough, they played Wolfen during that week too. But I recorded it, and they included all the deleted footage that's on the DVD. And so I watched it with like the death of the helicopter pilot, extended footage of Chief Brody and stuff like that. Like going to Lynn, the real estate agent that's after Ellen Brody in the movie and stuff like that too. But that's when I grew to appreciate it more. And then it kind of got to where I'm like, I don't enjoy it as much as I used to. Kind of like with all the sequels, and then you go and rewatch it more as an adult. Like, you know what? There's more to it here that I don't feel like casual Jaws fans are seeing here. Hardcore Jaws fans can appreciate a lot of this stuff, but I don't think Jaws 2 is as appreciated as I think as it should be, because they had a hard act to follow. But we still get plenty of deaths. Roy Scheider does a damn good job in it. You know, Lorraine Gary does a good job as Ellen again. Hendrix is back. Plus, too, I mean, with, you know, I know Joe doesn't know a whole lot making of Jaws 2. Like, it's a big, big book just on the making of that film. And that, you know, Jaws fans already know this, so this is for, like, casual Jaws fans, that the movie was originally shot with a different director and had a more depressing tone and a completely different story. Like, it starts with Amity suffering from the events of the first film. Like, it's become a ghost town because no one's coming to Amity for the summer. They're all suffering financially, and it's just kind of a much more downbeat feel of the film. And then he was fired, John Hancock, and they brought in Juno Schwartz, redid the script, threw in more action sequences, which is what Nathan was talking about. That was done, like the big water sea sequence and stuff like that. All that was done so they could flesh out the script and give us more time with the kids, make them a little bit more relatable, like when you watch a Friday the 13th film. Oh, look, that guy's the jock. Oh, look, that guy's the nerd.
Yeah,
so you kind of flesh out and make them somewhat in the group a little bit more relatable, you know?
Yeah, no, that's this kind of makes my entire point, I think, that I was trying to, like, find the words for. It feels like at this point, this is when Jaws takes the turn and almost just becomes a slasher movie.
In a way, And I think that's just because, you know what, you can't have Hooper and Quint, but even though...
I'm not saying that that's a bad thing at all. If anything, that's probably the direction I would take it to. I'm just saying Slasher Jaws.
Well, Slasher Jaws definitely works better than Jaws 3, you know.
How every time that gets mentioned, you just hear Joe in the background. Whew.
This is rough. I mean, no, too. Like I said, just to finish up what I'll say about part two. No, I thought the whole pacing of the movie was great. Has you on, you know, like anxious pins and needles at times. Has you nervous, wondering what's going to go on. The acting still felt good, and it felt just like, to me, like part one. I mean, you know, like I said, three, I haven't seen since I was a kid until I just seen recently. Four, I've never seen four. I just never seen it. But two, as I was watching on AMC, I was like, you know, I've caught this on TV here and there in pieces, so it still felt a little more familiar. But I mean, I could always watch one and two, and just they seem like they go together just like a perfect pair to watch. You know, it seems like I could go, if you had them both, I was like, I got to watch one and two. But then here came three, and I was like, damn. Like, I told you my story from when I was a kid. But see, that's the thing is, you know, Friday the 13th, part three, you know, that was in 3D, and I remember seeing it at the theater, and whatever the hell, it worked. It still worked. I liked it. And I know that, yes, it wasn't big special effects like as it is in Jaws, but I thought, okay. Since Friday the 13th 3 came out first and then came Jaws 3, you figure Jaws 3 might have did something to look even more better. But I could tell when I was watching on TV, even without my 3D glasses, because it was just on TV, you could see the spots where it was supposed to be the 3D effects. But it just looks so bad. Just the pacing, the feel, the acting, the different set of characters. Something just did not work for me. Like I said, the only anxious part is when they're underground in that damn, you know, underground tunnel thing to observe stuff. But it just, I don't know. I couldn't get into the characters. You know, it does help. You know, of course you're there for the shark, but you still want a cast of characters that you can, you know, like root for to kill Jaws or just seem like, damn, these are believable characters. Something felt so strange for part three for me. I don't know if it was just, like I said, my experience when I was a kid, it stuck with me my whole life and I don't want to give it a chance, but I mean, I sure did. I tried to watch it. I was like, I sat through it all. I was like, I just can't get into the movie. I just did not like part three. Four, interesting. We'll get to that eventually, but three, I don't know. And hello to Andre in the chat room for joining us. Thank you for joining us. So go ahead, Nathan, Tyler, whatever.
Well, yeah, Tyler, let's get your thoughts on part three.
Three has always been a a chore for me to watch. Like, I, as a kid, when I would go to Beyond Video and look at the VHS boxes, that was my introduction to all the Jaws sequels, was seeing the beautiful box art. And I would just look and like, oh, man, you know, Jaws is in SeaWorld right here. Like, Jaws is getting ready to eat that blonde girl. And, you know, just being just fascinated by that stuff. And I, when I rented it, I don't remember finishing it. All I can tell you about Jaws 3 when I saw it as a kid was that I remember there was a commercial for the first Jaws, like a lengthy trailer for it, attached to Jaws 3, and then the movie starts, and I just remember never finishing it. Like, it just kind of bored me really quickly. And then I would see it on TV a lot. Like, TNT would play it. I think USA would play it. And I would always catch it in various parts and like, hey, Jaws 3. And I'd always had the best intentions of trying to watch it, and I just couldn't quite get into it. But I was fascinated by what the story they're trying to tell, but just how it was done was so piss poor. And, you know, because I still say to this day, Jaws 3 could have been a kick-ass movie of Jaws invading SeaWorld, eating tourists left and right, people who work there. It could have been awesome. Really, really good. I mean, hell, look at the poster, for crying out loud, you know. And it's just a shame that, you know, and I, as the movies go on, the body count gets smaller and smaller and smaller in each film. You know, Jaws 2, you know, decent amount of deaths, not tremendous. Jaws 3, less deaths. Jaws the Revenge, 2 deaths. Well, maybe 2.5. We'll get into that later. But I never could understand the logic in that. As the movies get more and more, the body counts get smaller. And I don't know if that was due to it can't be due to the MPAA, because, you know, Jaws 1 had a big body count, so did Jaws 2. And then Jaws 3's got Shelby Oberman, the two divers, Louis Gossett Jr.'s nephew, and Simon McCorkindale, you know, and not a whole lot of use out of the shark in general, too. Like, there's just not a whole lot of stuff with the shark. I feel like they spent so much time with the baby shark and everything. And I've never been a fan of Dennis Quaid. I liked him in Any Given Sunday, but other than that, I don't like him as Mike Brody. I didn't like the actor playing Sean Brody, which I saw him in something. Oh, he's in A Minute Work. He's one of those douchebag beach cops that's harassing Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. Yeah, he's hey, there's Sean Brody, the douchebag. And of course, Leah Thompson being in it, looking hot as hell in her first movie. You know, she's good in it, but, you know, it's hard not to like Leah Thompson. Best song.
Yeah, oh man, she's hot.
God, to this day, she's so hot.
I mean, you know, even if I was traumatized as a kid from watching someone get eat by a shark in front of me and I stayed out of the water, you know, if she stripped down to her bikini and got in the water and was like, hey, come in, I'd be there.
Yeah, I would be too. And at least, I mean, I didn't mind that they're trying to say this is the Brody's working, you know, that Mike's working at SeaWorld and the brother lives in Colorado. Like, it just felt like it was executed poorly. And you know what? They probably didn't even need to include the Brodies in the film.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand is, you know, after part two, why continue on with the Brody family? Why not just let it just be a new set of characters? Like you were talking about, the premise for this is just such a lost opportunity because, as you say, it could have been so kick-ass. But
yeah, like Joe's paranoid about being trapped in the undersea team. That should have been a massive sequence of tourists being, you know, Jaws crashing in there and eating and, you know, people
getting some of them. Yeah.
I mean, that alone should have been a big. And of course, it's been documented well that the producer on this film was one of the biggest problems on the film. People have also said the director, Joe Alves, who worked on Jaws 2 and the first film and who was responsible for getting the shark designed and working with the shark and designing, pretty much the guy, who one of the biggest guys responsible for Jaws in general. I like how it looks and designing the shark and everything. Directed Jaws 3. Problems all over the place. The characters aren't that likable. I did like Simon McCorkindale, who played Philip Fitzroyce. You know, he was a likable character. Louis Gossett is likable too. You know, talk about some damn shocks, mother. You know, but other than that, it's just, you know, very forgettable characters and not enough action going on in the film. And I will say this, like, I remember I asked Leah Thompson when I met her about Jaws 3, and her first scene was when Jaws attacks her. Like, that was her first scene that she shot. And all she got was Joe Al said, okay, you're in the water, and then the shark's going to come up and just attack you, and that's what we're going to do. Like, just that she had no prep or anything. It was just get in the water, and Jaws is going to come up and attack you. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, even though it's a big mechanical shark, I'd be scared shitless to get in the water and wait for this giant mechanical shark to come up and attack me, you know. And then, of course, when it attempts to bite her, it's like it just poked a fabric softener underwater. It's kind of like it sneezed like fabric softener in the water when it attacks her. You know, it doesn't look convincing. Of course, when they pull her out of the water and you see like the massive cut on her, like, oh my God, poor Leah Thompson, her beautiful legs. It's a crime. Kill that damn shark. You know, and it's and I do like the opening title sequence, which Joe probably saw like the piss poor like VHS transfer where the title just shows up on the screen as opposed to the 3D effect title coming at the screen and chomping, which looks really cool. And the music is really good in it. I like the score for Jaws 3. It's not John Williams' score, of course, but it's a good score. And the look of Jaws could have been so good. You know, it just wasn't shot well. You know, it's just like all they have is just the big shark just kind of sitting in the water. And then I remember when it shows its teeth a few times, it sounds like it's snarling underneath the water. Almost.
Oh, I mean, you know, just a prelude. Yeah. Just a prelude to the roaring. And
yeah. Yeah, but yeah. There is a roaring shot in the first Jaws that no one ever talks about. And I think all the roaring stuff is done is that, you know, when a shark comes out of water, you know, they don't make noise. So I think it's strictly done to add a little,
yeah,
a little sound. No, it makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. It's like other movies.
When you're shooting a film, you have to add something. It's just,
yeah,
to make it not so quiet.
Right. Because how many times have we seen that in other movies where sometimes they'll take a spider and it's radioactive and becomes gigantic and then suddenly it's like oh, yeah. Spiders grow now that they're big. But no, it's just, it's some of the 3D effects, like I said, just knowing me. It's almost like, as much as I love Friday the 13th Part 3, don't get me wrong, I love them, but you know, like there's some of those over-exaggerated in your face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at the broom in your face.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Look at the yo-yo in your face.
Right, when they did that. And so there's some things that Jaws are weird, especially even just seeing, like, I think before it, like, crashed through the glass, or something looks so phony at one part, but I know
that's the whole scene. I mean, that, yeah, if well, anybody, that's the most legendary scene of the film is that,
yes,
shot.
I feel like that's the only thing people know about.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I mean, because you just see it slow and steady. And then it cuts to them, and then back to the shark. And then it's like all of a sudden slow motion on their part, and then it just the glass
and
breaks.
And it holds still. Like the
and
shark's
it holds
not
still.
Yeah. And it opens its mouth slightly. And, I mean, visually, that should be quite scary. And the look on Jaws, I mean, it should be scary, and it kind of is. But you're laughing at it because the shark's not moving, and they're just trying to sell it and the horror.
Well, Joe, you were in the theater. What was the reaction during that part?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
No, the reaction was the effects were not working. It wasn't just my glasses. Something was off. So it wasn't just me. You've seen everybody doing this. So we're taking our glasses on and off trying to see when the shark was doing something. But it was the most unresponsive crowd because we were annoyed as hell as these effects were not working and they're having issues with their screen. But we had to sit through the whole damn thing. So it was just not an enjoyable experience at all. But no, nobody was like screaming when it went through because you just seen everybody doing this back and forth with their glasses. Mm. Remember back then it was the red and blue,
yeah,
crack. Remember those cheap shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, even on the transfer, I don't, because I feel like it's on Amazon Prime. All the movies are on Amazon Prime right now to stream if you have Amazon Prime. And I don't know if they used the transfers from the Blu-rays because it was sort of odd when I would play them. It would show like the piracy menus, and I'm like, that's really weird. That's almost like they're just using the Blu-ray. But anyway, Tyler, with part three, because I noticed this, there's like on the sides of the screen too. I don't know if it's because 3D and things like that, but it seemed like a little blurry on the mm-hmm. side. Like you could see a hint of like the red blue overlay. Is it like that on the Blu-ray as well? Because I haven't gotten a chance to pop that
one out. I don't own the Blu-ray. I just got it on DVD.
Oh wow! Okay.
And the DVD, it sticks out.
I thought he was a true fan. I guess not.
I am a true fan, but I just felt like I got Jaws 3 on DVD. I just did not feel the urge to upgrade to Blu-ray. If I came across it at Walmart or at Target or someplace, I would probably buy it in hand. But I just could not talk myself because I remember. You know, me and my dad have watched, you know, the Jaws movies a lot. And a couple summers ago, we actually sat and watched all the Jaws sequels chronologically, just me and him during the summer. And he just refused to continue to sit through Jaws 3. He's like, I can't watch this, man. He just got fed up. I said, yeah, we'll just scrap it, and we put in Jaws the Revenge. He's like, I enjoyed that a hell of a lot more than Jaws 3.
Well, I mean, we started talking about the end of the movie and how much promise there could have been with him breaking through and eating people and everything. But instead, the focus just shifts to, well, we gotta weld this shut and just all this other stuff. I'm like, what? Come on. Like, the movie already trudged along anyway.
Yeah,
to even get to that point, but now it's like, all right, we're just going to focus more on these characters just talking more than when the shark should be eating people, and none of this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of like capturing the baby shark should have been axed. It should have been, okay, part of our staff has gone missing. Shelby Oberman's body shows up like it's been torn apart. What the hell in our park could have done something like this? You know, we don't have anything that, you know, with a bite radius this big. It looks like a shark bite. Like, there should have been a lot of disappearances going on, or bodies showing up randomly, tourists being scared shitless because they claim they saw a giant shark in the undersea canyon. We don't have any giant. I mean, it should have been that. The whole baby shark thing should have been axed altogether. It just,
yeah.
Like, their capturing sequence at night, it doesn't work. It's boring.
Yeah.
And then trying to.
Then it dies anyway.
Then it dies anyway. And, you know,
didn't
it just
seem anticlimactic, like almost like. Just what was the whole purpose of that? Of like,
so they could be the first ones to have a great white and captain.
Yeah, but then, like you said, it just died. It's like, oh,
and then
which was kind of funny though, because the shark just like bellies up and she hops in. There's all these people just surrounding it, and then it's like, oh, come on, come on, come on. And then it just falls, like rolls over again. They're like, ah, damn it. And then they all just walk away, and that's it. Like,
okay, so it'd be great if they jumped in there with like the things in baseball. What are those things that George Clooney uses? Clear, and they just
may as well, you know.
Yeah,
but this it seemed like they knew where they were going. Like I said, when they did the whole idea of the baby shark, and then it just dies. It just seemed like something just felt like it was missing or flat. Like they just fuck it, let's kill it.
Well,
and let's just
I guess in their way, it's like trying. Okay, now the mother shark is pissed because its baby's gone or something.
And no, it's just padding it out. The time.
And I think it's really what it was. And I still to this day, I would love to have. If had they gone with this, and Nathan may know about this, Joe. I know you don't know about this.
No, I don't.
And it's been talked about to some extent, like legitimacy. So it just shows you just how serious they were about doing this. That Jaws 3 was going to be a parody called Jaws 3 People Zero. And Joe Dante had been picked to direct. He had been working in pre-production. The producers of the first two films wanted to do the spoof. That's what it was. It was going to be a spoof parody of the Jaws films. And it just, they felt like this is where we need to go. We don't need to do another serious Jaws film. So it was going and going. And then Universal decides, no, we don't want to do this anymore. We want to do a serious film. So Joe Dante drops out. And then I think he completes The Howling. So that's,
I think he was better off, honestly.
Well, I still would like to have seen what Joe Dante would have done with a parody Jaws film, because he wanted to do it. I just think it would have been like, oh my God, Joe Dante doing a parody Jaws film? Because he did Piranha. You know, so you kind of feel like this would have been gold. And he's discussed it, and the producers have mentioned it. And I would love to hear more about that, because he mentions it in passing about, you know, I was attached to the Jaws 3 movie, which was going to be a parody of itself. I would have loved to have seen that. And it probably would have, we wouldn't have got probably Jaws the Revenge. Some people say, oh, thank God. But it just would have been interesting had we got the parody by Joe Dante. Would we have gotten more Jaws films? Would we have gotten more comedies? It's interesting to think about. And that's one of those most fascinating things about Jaws 3, is even though it's a very difficult film to watch, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, what was going on with, like, the producer who was more of a TV show producer who was on this film, and he was, you know, Joe Owls was fighting a losing battle and stuff like that. He'd never directed a film before or since. So it just kind of seemed like it was doomed to begin with when they decided to do a more serious film and incorporate the whole 3D gimmick, because it just doesn't look good. It doesn't work. It shows so easily. Watching on VHS was, you know, is pretty tough as well. And that sequence too, when Jaws crashes through the observatory booth, what do you want to call it there? You know, when he eats, you know, Lewis Scott's nephew, like that should have been, you know, just and I always felt bad for his nephew getting eaten, because Lou Gossett goes for the female assistant leaves his nephew to get eaten by Jaws, and you hear like the bones crunching and stuff like that. And I always felt so bad for him as a kid, but that should have been so much more. Or even when he swallows Simon McCorkindale whole and just kind of gums him to death.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you kind of, you know, his buddy, when he finds out that he doesn't come up, he didn't come up, and he's screaming again, like, oh, you feel bad for him. Like, just brief moments where you feel like, okay, I can buy what's going on here. But
I kind of felt like they were lovers, honestly.
I don't want to say that.
I think they were. No, I'm going there.
You're not saying Manimal was a lover to the other Brit or Australian. I don't know. I'm not sure what their nationality was. No, they weren't.
They were. He was like really like devastated when he didn't come out.
Let me just put it this way. If I lost either one of you guys in a shark attack, I would be devastated too.
I appreciate that.
Tyler's a good man. Look at that, man. That's number love right there, man. Yeah. I feel the same way. I do the same thing.
I'd be going for the Oscar. I'd be selling your all's death and everything. Oh, God, no. And who's going to podcast with me? And, you know, who's going to customize for me? Who's going to make me laugh about shit, how shitty wrestling is? And, you know, and I would throw water in my face trying to sell the tears and everything.
And then he's just yelling at the water, why are you doing this?
And then I would have to pretend like I'm like retarded so I could get the real Oscar and all that stuff too, and you know.
I don't go full retard.
I kind of wonder if Tropic Thunder were made today, if that scene would cause, because that came and went, you know, people enjoyed that movie, but that scene in particular came and went without much resistance. But if it came out today, I bet everyone would be like, oh, my God.
I know. I don't think so. This is the one where I don't think it would, because they know. Well, they know it's a spoof movie. It's just spoofing things within a movie. And also, yeah, I think they know it's a comedy and silly. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with Tropic Thunder now.
Well, that's what the message is saying, is what Hollywood does. I mean, I don't find it super rewatchable.
Well, no. I was talking in particular just where they were talking about.
Oh, yeah, using full retard. Well, I'm glad that they did. But they're not saying, they're not mocking or parroting people who are mentally challenged or retarded or down or nothing like that. They're poking fun at what Hollywood does, is that if you act like someone who is disabled mentally, like Dustin Hoffman and Rayman, you'll get an Oscar. And Sean Penn playing.
Oh, no, I know what you're saying.
I'm just saying people don't have a leg to stand on to be upset about something that's poking fun at Hollywood's portrayal of, you know, retarded people in cinema. They're not making fun of retards.
I know you're putting logic to it. Most people wouldn't even have seen that part, or, you know, they just would hear about it and be like, give me my pitchfork. I'm ready to go on social media and be a social justice warrior. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
love that about our podcast, is, you know what, we're here, we're the voice of reason for people in our age range. You're like, you know what, you don't have to succumb to that kind of, you know, trivial millennial bullshit. You know, we all know how it really works. We're not going to succumb to.
It was just the context of the movie. Like I said, it was an over the top, just insane comedy. And with those comedies, usually nobody attacks anything like that. They get it. They're just joking and making fun of everybody back and forth. It was nothing meant to be serious. Like you said, it's even talking about over the way Hollywood is with some every kind of categories of movies and what people do to take roles to become these characters. That's all it is. So yeah, Tropic Thunder. It's like, it's a nutball movie. I mean, nobody should watch it and take anything serious in Tropic Thunder.
I think people in general who get up in arms about movies in general, I don't care what it is, whether it's a comedy, drama, action, whatever, if people are saying they're offended by this, and like,
it's a fucking movie. It's a movie. Like,
well, I was offended by part 4 of Jaws, though. Now that movie, I'm gonna get right into that right now. I'm gonna do it. Here's the thing. Now, I enjoyed it more than part 3, but I felt like it's just like, here comes the straight, but of course it's just a movie. But I was like, okay, is it like their family's supposed to be cursed? And then the shark is following the family, really? It kills off the one son and now follows them all to where they're going to kill the rest. I was like, really? There's a vendetta? That's the part where I was like, oh, Jesus, it's Jaws the Revenge. So it really is revenge. And like, family might be cursed from these sharks. I just thought that they stretched it way too far, even though I still kind of enjoyed it. And it's something I could visually watch without being annoyed to hell. The characters are still kind of interesting, at least bringing back, you know, one of the characters, you know, the wife. But and still, it's the, like you said, you thought the Brody family would, hey, maybe they'd be gone after 2, hey, maybe after 3. Nope, they're still back. But and of course they're the ones that ended. But I don't know, I mean, the pacing was better than 3. It was more enjoyable to watch, but just the the far stretch of that curse thing. It's just maybe that's what inspired Jason Takes Manhattan, with Jason following the kids.
That's how I was gonna word it. Jaws: The Revenge to me is the Jason Takes Manhattan of the Jaws franchise, meaning that even though a lot of people don't like it, I don't know why people don't like
it. I love it. Yeah, those people, they can go to.
Yeah, I don't know why people just don't like Friday the 13th Part 8. It's honestly, it's the first one. It's the first one I really remember watching, and I love it to death. And I'm just going to say it. Jaws Revenge is my favorite Jaws sequel. I put it above Jaws 2 and definitely above Jaws 3. I think that...
Do you like it more than the original Jaws?
No. I said out of the Jaws sequels, Revenge.
Okay, I was just kind of scared for a second.
I like the aspect of the shark is following them, and it has this.
I love the vendetta.
I mean, why not? Why not? If you're gonna do it,
fucking vendetta, the shark, a curse. Oh my god. Go ahead.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, Tyler's gonna have all the info on this, but it's the idea behind it is supposed to be that there is like a voodoo curse on them, right? They briefly touch on it in like what one line of dialogue in the film, that just passes by it, but that's where they were going with that. Is there any deleted scenes that
it's show in the book? In the book. Like, the book, there is a, and I don't know why they dropped it, because I sent Nathan and Joe a brief interview with the director, Joseph Sargent, who talks about Jaws: The Revenge and how it got greenlit and what they were trying to do with it. And there's a whole subplot that Michael Brody, when he's in the Bahamas, is pissed off a local witch doctor. I don't know how, I don't know what the scenario is about that, but as a revenge tactic, the witch doctor.
Joe's head's starting to hurt.
I'm like, Joe, you need to be serious here, because I'm taking this seriously. Don't you be laughing now.
This is so fucking stupid, but keep going.
But at least, I'm not saying it's the best story to tell a shark movie. I'm saying at least there's logic to the idea.
I think it's the best way to tell a story in a shark movie.
Well,
honestly,
I say I love Jaws of Revenge because I like the cast a lot in it. Michael Caine is great in it. Lance Guest, Last Starfighter, Halloween 2 is great as Michael Brody. Mario Van Peebles, this is the first movie I ever saw Van Peebles in. I'll always remember him as Jake. And, you know, there's a lot of good acting in it, a lot of good moments in the movie. The shark doesn't look as menacing, even though there's a couple of good shots. And is Joe laughing or is he just moving around like insanely? Right
now? I don't know. Just
kinda, sorry.
He's laughing the whole damn time.
He's laughing so much he's crying, and his mask is just going to slip off his face.
Well, let me just throw out all the other subplots and maybe see if Joe finds this just as hilarious too.
Go ahead, no, this is my curse killed me, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, yes, the witch doctor puts a curse and uses the shark to just attack, just a random shark to attack the Brody family, which is why it comes after Sean at the beginning of the movie. And I don't, and this is the thing, when you watch the movie, it doesn't really say that the shark is like going after the Brodies because of all the previous sharks. Like, I used to think that logic as a kid, like that was my thought behind it. Like, Jaws 1, Jaws 2, and Jaws 3 were all part of this like family. And this is a kid's way of thinking. But it does that part, it's not really set in the film. Like, you think from a perspective of someone who's lost a loved one. And you try to find logic behind this absurd death that took away your child, your wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be. And you start thinking kind of, you know, all over the place. So you kind of buy the fact that, you know, and then they gloss over how Roy Scheider's character dies with the fear of the shark. But then the director also says that he was killed in a previous attack. I'm like, I don't know where to go with this other than the simple fact that if we touch on what happened in Jaws 2, that Roy Scheider's become so paranoid of sharks. That at some point at a later date suffers a heart attack from the fear of, like, you know, another shark is invading Amity. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me, but he's not in the film, so you don't really dwell on that much. But Michael Caine's character, when he says, I deliver laundry, that's touching on the fact that he's a money launderer, that he works for a drug dealer on the Bahamas and delivering laundered money back and forth. That's what he does. That's how he makes his living. And there's a whole subplot as well where the drug dealers are getting involved in the storyline. The drug dealer gets eaten by Jaws in the film as well. All that's in the book too. A couple of interesting things I felt like that, you know, the movie's an hour and a half. It goes along at a good pace. The focus is on the family, the shark attacks and stuff. It would have drawn the film out, could have pulled Jaws 3, but I still find those were kind of interesting aspects to have seen what the witch doctor would have looked like. What could Mike Brody have done to piss off a local witch doctor?
I wish that would have been in the movie.
I do too. Yeah. I always thought that was fascinating, you know, and then giving Michael Caine more to do other than, you know, which I like what he does in the film, but showing that he's doing business with drug dealers and using his plane to, you know, deliver laundry. You know, I just thought that was an interesting backstory for him and what he does in the film. All right, what about the opening where Sean gets killed? I thought that's a kid that was pretty.
It was shocking.
As a kid.
That's a good way to go ahead and get it kickstarted. It's like, all right, we're in the shit now. And then, you know, I'm sure with Joe, it lost its way because, you know, the shark's following the family. Have you guys read the quote that Michael Caine gave about Jaws the Revenge?
I've heard that quote so many times. And then when you find out that, I mean, which Joe hasn't heard it. So Nathan, sure.
I'll go ahead and read it to you. Michael Caine on Jaws the Revenge has said, "I never seen it, but by all accounts, it is terrible. However, I have seen the house that it built, and it is terrific." So
I mean, Michael Caine and everyone involved like had to sign on. And Joseph Sargent said that Michael Caine liked the script. So like no one like forced Michael Caine. Like, and by this point, Michael Caine is a very prestigious actor. 1987 or 86 when the movie was shot. So it's not like he was hard up for cash and stuff like that. He was a well-respected and was up for an Oscar. While he was filming Jaws Revenge, he couldn't make it to the Oscars because he was stuck in the Bahamas filming Jaws of Revenge, which I'm sure for most actors, like, oh my God, I'm filming the fourth installment of a horror movie franchise and I can't accept my Oscar. It's a funny story, but, you know, it just felt like you can't be too hard on it because you like, obviously you thought it was well enough to sign on, you know, even if it was for a paycheck.
You know, I think that's just part, I mostly think that's just part of him. Agreeing with the masses of, oh, this movie's not good.
Yeah.
You know why I had issues? I was going to say real quick, the reason I've always had issues with Michael Caine, there was a movie, I couldn't even tell you when it came out. I just remember as a kid, it freaked me out.
The Killer Bees?
The Hand. It was this movie where the guy was driving and his hand was out the window, bam, and it like got knocked off. But then this hand came alive and it was always trying to kill Michael Caine. And he used to freak me out just because of the hand. And anytime I seen him in a movie, I was like, oh God, the fucking hand movie. So I don't know if you guys ever seen it, but that was the weirdest horror movie that I seen when I was a kid.
Yeah, never heard of it. I haven't heard of it either, but I just looked it up. I feel like I need to track this down and watch it.
And that's the exact reason I don't drive with my hand out a window is I'm paranoid that, oh my God, it's going to get hit and just get chopped off because I hated when that happened in the movie. But if you guys never seen it, it was weird. But yeah, this hand, I was a kid, so it's been a long time.
I don't denounce anything that we all felt as kids. That even though we watch it now, you feel like, how was I scared of that? Like, you can't deny what frightened you as a kid. I mean, it's no matter how silly and preposterous. I mean, I was scared of both Ghostbusters 1 and 2 as a kid. You know, I was,
I never understood why the hand came alive though as a kid. I just know that he was supposed to have drawn cartoons I remembered in the show and his hand got chopped off and it wanted to kill him. But I was like, I never know why.
I mean, you guys want to talk about being afraid of dumb things. I probably told this story once before when we did our Friday the 13th episodes long, long ago. But, my cousin on his Nintendo cart that, you know, had the TV on it that you could basically, it was a cart you could put your TV on, and then underneath you could put your Nintendo, all your
TV
games.
Cart.
Like,
yeah,
but it was like an officially licensed Nintendo product actually was spaced out that here's where the Nintendo goes. Here's where you can stack your games and
that's
shit
awesome.
Like that. But on it, he had, those stickers that when you're at the grocery store you can buy, like they're the shiny reflective-esque kind of stuff.
You know
what I'm talking about. They got like that sheen on them. Mm-hmm. He had a Jason Voorhees one and he put it on the cart and I remember he's in his bed, of course. I'm in a sleeping bag on the floor and I'm just like turned and the light is just hitting it just right. So all I see is his mask just like staring at me, and I couldn't go to sleep. So I hated that sticker. But when you guys were, I don't know why this also popped in my head, but earlier this week I was thinking about it, and this memory had not popped into my head for years. But did you guys ever do anything similar to this? When my mom would be cleaning, she would spray like potpourri, and I would pretend that I was like Batman, and you know, this is just like some poison mist that's like going on. I'm trying to like avoid it, and I'm rolling around. And did you guys ever anything like that?
Yeah, I did stuff like that, but not that in particular. But I did stuff very similar to that. Where, I mean, your mind is like, you know, you're playing on a couch. You're imagining that the floor is water or lava.
Yeah, hot lava. I did hot lava. Yep.
Yeah, or you had to jump on the pillowcases or other cushions to get to the other couches. I mean, just I think like that all the time. Like if I'm in a big building, I'm like, I'm in Nakatomi Plaza here. If a terrorist were to come in right now, how could I handle it? Right? Like I think like that all the damn time. Yeah. You know, it's just
I remember playing hot lava.
I'm a big kid all the time. I think in terms of action movies, 24/7. Like that's what I do. You know?
Yeah,
oh, I'm not thinking about, wow, what a romantic setting here. I sure would be great here to be here with some hot chick. I'm like, I would love to save a beautiful woman here. And like, if all these ninjas came in the top window here, I'd take them all on right now. And I would use this broomstick over here to take them all. I would just be coming up with all these scenarios like all the damn.
I like how Tyler's fantasies about all this shit always involve him rescuing some beautiful woman. Or I'm going to be playing this arcade game. I hope there's some hot chick back there that's going to be turned on watching me get the high score.
It was always about being macho and being alpha and picking up a hot girl. Because as a kid, when you're watching action movies all the time, like, you know, you want to be like Arnold. You want to be like Stallone and Van Damme, He-Man, Hulk Hogan. And a lot of times they're saving a beautiful woman.
I never wanted to be like Hulk Hogan.
So, of course you did. Nathan was at age 4. He was saying, you know, it's all fake here, guys.
I wasn't doing that. I
know you did it.
I wasn't a Hogan mark. I was an Ultimate Warrior guy, and I was a Sting guy.
I was acting like I was the Warrior. I remember that, too. I'd always try to put, like, rubber bands around my biceps. Hair was long. It was, God, I used to have real long hair, and it was just because the Ultimate Warrior. And
Wait, how old were you?
I think I cut it when I was 16. But, yeah, I had it. It was pretty damn long. It was
Joe,
weird.
Joe, did you ever did you have a mullet? I just a picture.
I had a mullet.
You had a mullet? Holy shit.
I had a mullet. Yeah.
Are there pictures of this?
First, it was just shaggy in the front and the sides and in the back. Then eventually, yes, I did get it trimmed on the side, and it was a little more towards the mullet. And then once it was cut towards the sides, then I just cut the back. But no, I mean, I just want to say one more thing about when you talk about just fantasy, and you're right, it doesn't take much to entertain me when I was a kid. Like I said, beyond playing lava, hot lava with the couches, sometimes we'd envision it was puke. Like, don't get down there, you'd be stepping in puke. I would even...
That's not action-oriented. There's nothing action about that.
Watch out for the puke.
Watch out for the puke.
Here's one thing I... Oh, yeah, Vince McMahon. Go. Here's one thing good. I'm sure... I know you guys probably never did this. This was the goofiest thing I did. I would like.
I don't know about this. I still think about and laugh to myself about you taking the textbooks and putting them in the toilet.
Well, it worked. It had me close to her.
You think I'm odd for wanting to be cool playing Archie? He's taking the books and putting them in the shitter. She'll want to go out with me if I do that. At least I'm trying to accomplish something that I'm good at something. Maybe they might be appreciated. Maybe they might be attracted to that.
I fought off the terrorists and kicked those ninjas' ass. Yeah, well, I put her book in the toilet.
But yeah, what do you think about that?
And then the chick still goes with Joe, and you don't have nothing.
Yeah, no, and it's an advertisement for Armani cologne or something like that. You know?
But it worked. But no, I would just lay on my back on the floor. Then I would like take my hands to where I would arch my back to where my head was upside down. And I liked looking at the ceiling, and it made it look like the ceiling was now the floor and the floor was the ceiling. And I felt like I was in a whole different room. I was like, this is how easily Joe was entertaining me as a kid. All I had to do was look upside down and look at the ceiling. And I was like, oh my God, it looks like I could step on it. And it looked like a whole different world. So that's what I used to do. It's everything.
I'm picturing Joe probably does this right now. Like this, before we record, this is what he's doing.
I can picture everybody right now.
Oh, look at the puke. Look at the puke all over the place.
Find my happy place. Oh, there it is.
You know what's crazy, though? I can picture you and even some people in chat room after this is over, like, you know what? Nobody's around. And everybody puts their head upside down and they look at their stand like, Holy no. fuck, it does look like
I can tell you that right now. I will never do that.
Now, I used to lay flat on my back on the trampoline and would look at the sky and be like, what if all of a sudden all of this just inverted and I started falling into the sky?
That's what I meant. It was the same thing.
Out.
I guess.
Yeah, but I'd freak myself out. Mine was like, oh, cool, I can walk on the ceiling like Lionel Richie.
I think that was a fascination. It was just always looking at things in reverse. So not only in the house did it look like a new room, but I did do that. I would be outside. I'd be at a park, and I'd look upside down. I was like, oh, my God, I felt like I was falling into the sky. It was, like, weird.
People are just like, who is this fucking weirdo?
That's that Amato kid down the street. He thinks he's Italian.
He stole that kid's Mario toy. What an asshole.
It's gonna be on the news tonight. Somebody jacked this poor little kid. He's crying.
We have a description of what the assailant looked like, and it's a picture of it's a picture of the modular cross cell arm.
It's like, wait a minute.
If you have Robert Stack comes on. If you have any idea where the hell this douchebag is at, give us a call at this hotline here.
Oh my God! No, I wasn't fortunate enough to have a trampoline like Nathan though. That big time bucks. It was just a bed we'd jump on. We didn't have a trampoline, but like big bucks there. But whatever.
Oh yeah, but Joe had the attorney of play set. You know, yes. Yeah, clearly they were struggling all right.
Well, no. See, no, that's the thing. I always say anything that I got when I was a kid, that was a Christmas thing, but it was all saving. My parents would save to where they wouldn't even do for themselves, and they would do without.
Other people's parents didn't do the same thing? My parents have told me countless times. They didn't do much themselves.
No. And I'm sure you have too, but what I mean is, I know Nathan, boy. He got
it. Where the hell do you think you are? You think you're the only one who had it hard?
Nathan could snap his fingers and he got everything. It was like, hey, Ma, I lost that figure. We'll get you another one at the store. It's like,
I've often said that about Nathan because Nathan just had so much stuff. Like, oh, my God. He's like, do you know what you got here? No.
I don't remember.
And he just laughs about it. He's like, no, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure you didn't have it. It's probably worth a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's just like Jim Brewer at Half Bay. Hey, you paying attention? No. That's Nathan.
Wrote me some John Deere letter about how I never listened to her or anything. I don't know. I wasn't paying any attention.
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
There you go.
But I mean, we all did that. I think any man or woman that says they don't fantasize or daydream and stuff that too. It may not be as extreme as mine or even Joe's, but, you know, I like to think that, you know, it's stuff like most people probably don't talk about, but you know what? You know, I'm sure women fantasize about certain things, about some guy wanting to put a vibrating ball up their mish and they fall in love, or, you know, I'm referencing one of the 50 Shades of Grey sequels or something like that. I heard that's what happens in one of the sequels. It takes like a metal ball, puts it in her vag, and she's like, oh God, I'm in love.
Yeah, I felt like those movies were just kind of like softcore porn for old people.
For women who don't know too much about sex or never watch porn. So they're like, oh, wow, this is so hot. A metal ball.
It's so naughty. Oh, wow.
Like, God, man, you.
I'm glad that those movies are done now, right? There's no more books. There's no more movies, right?
Who'd have thought that they're still making more Harry Potter, you know, stuff? So it's I'm sure they come up 50 Shades of, you know, Brown next, you know, where it's all about anal stuff. And
oh, great!
Who knows? I don't know, and I don't care.
And then it'll be the dudes from Jaws 3 because they were lovers.
Oh, shut up.
My headphones are out of here. To give out
all
on
right. Let me bring this back to Jaws here before we really get off sidetrack here. Then
Jaws: The Revenge is an awesome Christmas film.
It is an awesome Christmas film. I told you guys back during Christmas time. If you want to watch a Christmas film, you watch Jaws: The Revenge and First Blood. They're both Christmas films. And
Joe, what were you saying about your headset, like, though?
Oh, no, just unfortunately, my headset has finally gave out after all these years. I've had these for about like 3-4 years. This side, no more volume coming out. I can only hear out of this side. So hopefully this doesn't go out eventually, because that's
I go through that all the time with my headphones.
Yeah, and I can't readjust it. I was trying to like adjust parts of the cable to see if something happened, and I can't fix it, so I can only hear out of one side.
Time to get that Patreon account going so we can get Joe a new headset.
No,
Joe,
no, no.
GoFundMe.
I think, what I could get, I mean, see, this is part of, like, the outfit, if you will. Like, I don't even want to take these off and get a different ones, but I could get those earbuds that, like, Tyler has over at the Dollar Tree. They have them for $1, so I could get them, and I could try to both sides. I mean, I could.
Especially Joe has, like, a gold card at the Dollar Tree. So. And there's not even a gold card in existence, but somehow Joe has got one for the Dollar Tree where he goes. He's got frequent flyer miles for the Dollar Tree.
Here comes that Amato. Quick, roll out the red carpet.
And then Joe's doing that kind of like that shucking and driving walk,
man,
you know.
Man, this day just keeps getting better.
He comes in at Dollar Tree dressed like the Monopoly guy. He's got a top hat and cane and, you know, monocle on his Modulot mask. You know,
where are those fancy new earbuds?
And then he like flips a penny to the cashier. There you go, sweetheart.
Ooh, what's this? Today. Potted meat. Yes.
They do have meat that's in cans there.
Sure that they do, and I'm sure you get a special too, don't you?
It's good. You'd be surprised that Dollar Tree really does have a lot of. I know.
Like how, Dollar Tree's around.
No. I like how Joe's like, that's good. And then just like briefly, and then onto the.
Well,
it's like you, Bob Thornton and Sling Blade eating all of it. We can do some trading and get some of that potted meat. That's Joe.
Well, I'm just saying, really, if you want to get some things like even the burritos, they have those extra large burritos in those packages.
Oh, God, Dollar Tree burritos? Jesus Christ, man.
I'll buy one today and I'll take a picture and show you guys. But
I don't want to see it, man. man.
But it's gigantic and it's worth it. I was like, wow, a dollar?
Looks like a big piece of shit wrapped up in a frozen tortilla. Oh man, it's a dollar though. And I imagine like their freezer at the Dollar Tree. You know? It's just these loaves of doo-doo rolled up. You know. 2 for 1 today.
Rolled up shit.
I'm done. Like, people in the back taking loads of dog shit and rolling those things off, throwing them in there, and you know.
Nathan. Oh man, my face is so red.
Oh shit.
Holy shit!
We have so much fun at Joe's food expense, you know. But like Joe's grocery stories, man. They're timeless stories of joy.
Joe, I'm sorry, man. I don't know how you do the burritos from Dollar Tree. I really don't. But yes, please take a picture and send it to me.
I imagine Joe probably spends a lot of time on the can when he actually goes to the Dollar Tree, man. Because Joe's got to be like.
I know. I imagine he's just got like an iron stomach.
I have gotten used to it. I have gotten used to that. All the hot stuff I've had since I was a kid, it doesn't really bug me. I enjoy it more. But no, it doesn't really get to me. Like when some people say, man, because I'll get some of those one bottles of hot sauce that are super hot where you're supposed to use a drop to cook up for a whole
thing.
And
you'll drink.
No. But I'll put it on like it's just, you know, a condiment. But I've been used to that. But some people are like, oh, man, you must be shitting fire. It's like, no, I just kind of got used to it by now. But no, that's some of that stuff would be bad. But I'm going to buy one when I'm done here because I got to go out to go get some stuff anyway, some supplies. I'm going to get one of those burritos and I'll take a picture. It's a big, gigantic one for a buck. It's worth it. But yeah, for me. Yeah, so how did you want to wrap up Jello's Revenge?
Well, I was going to mention the banana boat scene because how Joe has said that he's traumatized about holding your hand out the window. Like, I won't get on a banana boat and never have and never will because of the banana boat sequence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when I go to Myrtle Beach, they always have banana boat rides. All like accessible down where I always like to stay, North Myrtle Beach. And I'm like, there's no way in hell you'll get me on the banana boat because of Jaws of Revenge, man. No way.
Yeah. I hope you guys can at least look up the hand, if anything, when this is over.
I'm trying to focus on what we're talking about. And Joe's like, hell with that. Let me talk to you about the hand of my burrito, you know.
We got to check out the hand. You got to see why I had my fear of that shit. So, yeah, well, go ahead. Go back to your banana boat.
Well, I mean, Joe was keeping in, because you're talking about you're relating to what he was talking about with the hand being out the window. And
but
how
his
don't
part
wanna...
is done. We are supposed to be focused on Jaws of Revenge here, not so Michael Caine's hand.
You got to see the movie, though. It's interesting.
I'll make it a priority.
That means...
Yeah, and that means that for you later on tonight. Oh,
man.
Oh, burrito.
All right, next time you go to the beach, you're getting on a banana boat.
I'm not.
That's basically what we're getting at. I like that part a lot in the film.
Oh, it's a kick-ass sequence.
And I like, as you know, I like that shot of when the boat's pulling them away, and obviously it's deflating, and they're all just hanging on. But in the background, that woman's just like getting eaten. She's like hanging out of the water, and then it cuts to the shot of her going. Yeah,
yeah,
I, yeah.
Yeah, it's shot very well. It's a creepy, and then when Jaws like kind of bites down into her, pulling her down, and you just feel because she's an attractive woman, just getting you just having her leg just bit into, and then she's just dragged under and eaten alive. Like, man, it sucks.
If only Tyler was there to save her.
If I was there, I'd have saved that beautiful woman. I'd have saved those pretty legs, and I'd have beaten Jaws' ass right there in the water, man.
Yeah, right.
It'd have been great. It'd have been so awesome. They'd have put me in those Jaws films. I'd have helped relaunch the franchise.
Well, maybe you can make it to a Sharknado movie and then eventually transition.
No. See, that's the thing. People want to say this. Oh, the Sharknado movies are so great, but they're pissing shit all over the Jaws sequels. Who the hell do you think you are? Is it like, they're in on the joke and that makes it a good movie? No.
No. Yeah, most of those sci-fi films are bad.
Yes, they're terrible movies. And yet people always want to slam the Jaws sequels, but we'll watch Steve Urkel play, you know, a submarine captain is like Mega Shark versus Giant Dick. And, you know, it's a Roger Corman sci-fi original.
I kind of want to see that movie.
I'm not making that up. There was like a giant shark movie. My dad was watching it. It had Urkel in it. And I'm like, what the hell are you watching? He's like, it's one of those Corman sci-fi shark movies you always hate. Like, why are you watching it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there was one. It was like Mega Shark versus Octa Shark or Octa. They had
just
so many
nonsense,
goofy things.
Just
pure
crap. Yeah. So when you look at Jaws: The Revenge, at least you've got great acting, and good actors in general. The shark is not as menacing as the first one. There's no argument there. But there's some like the underwater. Like I always like the sequences where Michael's in the little mini sub, checking out the snails and stuff. It just looked cool. And then when Jaws attacks him, they swim to the second ship. It's a great action sequence, and you know stuff like that's it's tense and menacing and it's fun. The banana boat sequence, and
which I like what you just said better the original, because you showed me that clip of that person that like redid it with like a different computerized shark.
Which
I didn't like the shark. He looked too happy to me. It didn't look menacing.
Well, I mean, and plus too, at least the shark in all these films, it may not be able to do as much. The one, the first one, couldn't do that much, and they say that they only used what best they could, and that's why it wasn't on film that much.
But it still worked.
It still worked, and it like when Jaws is going through the hallways of the sunken ship. It looks great. It looks menacing and ferocious. Mm-hmm. And then when Mike's trying to get out and takes off his tank, and then Jaws bursts the wall and gets stopped by the ladder.
Yeah.
It looks very threatening and quite scary. And and then that I just thought it was cool that someone wanted to do something, to treat. They weren't making fun of Jaws: The Revenge, because I get why people don't like it, but I often feel like they're overlooking it. Like, yes, the premise is silly, but I also don't feel like what they're saying is actually happening in the movie, because there's nothing that says that this shark is seeking revenge for previous shark kills. All we're seeing is that Ellen wants to get is fed up with the shark. She's convinced it and goes out after the shark to get revenge for killing her son and attacking her daughter. You know, to me, that's kind of the revenge, not the shark. You know, I'm doing next of kin. I'm going all Patrick Swayze here and avenging my brother.
It did follow them all the way though, from one spot to another.
But I also say that too. It's that part doesn't make too much sense. But then again, too, we don't have much of a movie if they're going to continue to stay in Amity, because the shark will definitely stay there. I mean, they got away with it in Lake Placid, where they say it's a saltwater crocodile. What the hell is it doing in a lake? Well, that'll be our little secret. There is no explanation for it, because
fun. You're right.
It's still fun. So in that regard, I feel like it's forgivable, because you do see oddities in nature where an animal ends up in an environment that it normally wouldn't be in. It happens. The sharks have ended up in canals and rivers and stuff like that too. It does happen. There are real accounts of that stuff. I'm not saying that a great white showing up in the Bahamas is realistic. I'm just saying with the terms of the story they're trying to tell, it's viable. You know, I'm not saying it's super realistic. Not at all. But also, too, it makes sense that for them to be in the Bahamas, why would a great white shark be down that way? They say sharks don't like that kind of water. All the more reason why it's a surprise when it does show up.
Yeah, because I enjoyed it, like I said, more than the third one. And sure, like I said, the part about him following them might have been silly, but you know what? It still worked and it was fun. And yes, I did enjoy Jaws: The Revenge a lot more than 3. 3 just I could not enjoy at all. But as for my ranks, I would go 1, 2, 4, and 3 would be my order of how I like them. I mean, I really enjoyed part 2. But
I watched Jaws for a whole lot as a kid, too. Like, I rented it. about pretty much the same as the first film. Like, I just loved Joel. I liked Lance Guest. I liked Maury Van Peebles, and I liked Michael Caine. Like, I just liked their characters so much as a kid. I thought Sean's death was creepy as hell. The banana boat sequence was freaky. And that was when I didn't know, realize sharks couldn't roar and stuff like that, too.
Right.
You know, I was sitting there watching, like, wow, man. Yeah, you know, just completely entrenched and everything was happening. Because when you're a kid, you buy all the stuff. You know, you don't really see it as, like, sharks don't do that. They don't do that either.
Yeah, I'll take a guess here. It's kind of, I think I can hear in both your tones. Like I said, I go 1, 2, 4, 3, but I have a feeling that for both of you, you might go 1, 4, 2, 3. And I go 1, 2, 4, 3. But if you were to rank yours from top to the bottom, what would you say, Tyler? Because I have a feeling you'd like 1, 4, then 2, then 3. And I think Nathan does too.
Honestly, Jaws, I probably tend to watch Jaws Revenge more, but Jaws 2 is a better film. But I like, there's more of the cast in Jaws Revenge because the three that I named off, Mario, Lance, and Michael, I love their performances. And they're very viable characters and what they're doing. They give great performances. But Roy Scheider's intensity in Jaws 2, I'd say it's going to be 1, 2, and Revenge. And I don't watch Jaws 3. I'll only watch snippets of it. It's so hard to watch it all the way through. It really is. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying it really is a chore to sit through.
Oh, sure.
And Jaws Revenge, it's right there next to Jaws 2 because I've watched it so much as a kid, and I went through the cycle where I'm like, you're ashamed of it, even though I owned it. And it just was like, I didn't want to complete all the films, and it kind of got to where, like, I'll revisit it. Like, this film's not as bad as... It's like kind of – you feel like you grow out of certain films and you go back and rewatch them. Like, you know what? It's not as bad as I thought. And people are really hard on this film. Like, you know what? I think they're going by more or less what they vaguely remember in the word of mouth, because all of us being movie fans, we all hear there's bad mouthing of certain films. Like, we deal with this with the live-action He-Man movie and some of the Karate Kid sequels. Like, people just naturally trash the films because of word of mouth, or you hadn't seen it in years. You're like, have you watched this closely, though? There's actually a little bit more to it than what you remember. Sure. I'm not trying to convince the public that Jaws Revenge is one of the best shark movies ever made. I think it's a fun sequel, great acting. You know, yes, the story is a bit hokey here and there, but it's still, if the acting wasn't that great and the story, you know, the actors weren't as top-notch, no, it would be, like Jaws 3, a pretty forgettable film. But Jaws 1, Jaws 2, and then right next to Jaws 2 is Jaws of Revenge. Like, they would share second place. Give it could be swapped based on my mood, because I really do like, I love Jaws 2. It's a great movie. But I like Jaws Revenge. And I'm at a point in my life, you know what, I ain't ashamed to admit it. I love Jaws Revenge. I'm proud of how I feel about it. You know, I know Jaws fans, I think some of them like it, some of them may make fun of it. But I know there's plenty of, and I touched on this with Nathan yesterday, plenty of morons on YouTube who do videos making fun of Jaws of Revenge because they think they got something witty and humorous to say about it. I'm like, shut up, man, dude.
Go to hell.
Go to hell, man. What about you, Nathan?
What's your picks?
1, Revenge, 2, and 3. Easy. Give me more slasher Jaws. I don't give a shit if it's ridiculous. I love Jaws of Revenge. Like Tyler said, the performances in it are awesome. I don't give a shit if the...
And the score. Did you guys like the score in Jaws? Like, the haunting sequences, like when they're on the water. Like, where'd he go? All right, Mr. Fish, we'll come back and find you tomorrow. Or when Alan Brody's looking out at the water. And how this is kind of like creepy, kind of like haunting music.
I wasn't really paying that much attention to music. I'm not much of a score guy. This music was appropriate for what is going on, but I'm not like, man, this.
I guess it's just I've watched it so many times. Whereas, you know, you guys have watched it casually. I've watched it an ungodly amount of times, so I catch that stuff a little bit.
Yeah, I've just never been a big guy on scores. Like, yeah, they're memorable ones and help scenes and everything, but I'm not one of those guys. It's just like, oh, man. What a beautiful piece of music. I just never have been. I don't know why.
No worries. Some people aren't. They're more about other stuff in movies.
Yeah.
Before we do wrap up, we do need to touch on the alternate ending for Revenge. Because we haven't talked about that at all.
Yeah, because I'd like to know what Joe saw, since he saw it on TV.
Well, the thing I remembered was they were, like, there was these charges they had to use to, like, blow him up or something. God.
It's just a shock.
Shocking. And then they had to blow him up. I think that's all I remember. Why? There was something else. I didn't know.
He doesn't get blown up by the shocks. He's supposed to be impaled by the boat. And then the VHS release, and I don't know what was shown in theaters, but he gets impaled and then blows up. Makes no sense. But then there's the other one that's shown on Netflix and AMC sometimes where he gets impaled and then Jaws is gushing blood and screaming and the boat kind of breaks apart because of Jaws hanging onto the front of the ship.
I don't remember that. I don't think that happened.
Okay, then you saw the...
Saw the cut where Jake lives, because in the one where it stabs the shark and the boat breaks and sinks, Jake is dead.
Yeah, okay. Jake doesn't come back.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, I wouldn't have known there was an alternate one.
And that's one of the things, that's what makes it more fascinating, is that there were alternate cuts to the film, because when they showed it to test audiences, they didn't like the fact that Jake got killed off, so they went and reshot him living at the end of the movie to please audience. And I liked that as a kid. I liked that he came back, because I liked him a lot in the movie. I still do. But I still think it's interesting, because you don't know which version you're going to see when it's shown on Netflix or TV. So to see the version where Jake dies, like, wow, man.
Yeah.
Now he's dead.
And the one on Amazon Prime right now is the one where Jake lives and the shark gets blown up when it gets hit.
Yeah. I would much prefer to see the one where he actually gets impaled. And it's on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, it's very easy to find. All you get is like Jaws of Revenge ending. I remember when I saw that on TV for the first time, it blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't see this. You know, so it just wasn't stuff that was talked about that much. It was just, you know, early days of the internet. And you're like, wait, what is this? It blows your mind because you've seen the movie so many times. And I'm sure the rest of the people, they weren't even paying attention to it. But because I loved the film so much and watched it a lot, it was impactful to me to see something like that just show up randomly. An interesting bit of trivia for the film, though.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's cool because I couldn't remember when I'd seen it before which ending did I get? Because I was like, well, Jake dies. And then I was watching, I was like, wait, yeah, okay. Well, it had me second guess at myself. I'm like, I should probably, because the DVD version is the same one where he lives, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and on the Blu-ray, they include the one, you know, where they don't, it's just like the alternate ending. Like, that's one of the only bonus features on there is the alternate ending where Jaws gets impaled, you know, roars, and there's blood coming out. And when Jake doesn't live, and of course, there's, when they escort Ellen to the plane, they don't say, take care of Jake. Like, there's no mention of Jake. So it's like that was like thrown in, like audio-wise, to acknowledge the fact that, okay, we shot this original ending with no acknowledgement of Jake living. We need to go back through, say, take care of Jake to let the audience know, yes, Jake did survive. Even, you know, it's just kind of one of those.
Which honestly, the way that he was brought down and under there, it almost didn't make any sense that he did live. But
yeah, because it looks pretty horrific. I mean,
yeah, he looks dead.
Yeah, it's like, God, how the hell do you get out of that? You know, which it looks very effective. It's shot very well. It looks very, I wouldn't want to do that as a stunt man. God. But thank you guys for humoring me on this. I really enjoyed what you guys had to say about these sequels, because I don't get to talk about them that much. So it was a real treat to hear what you guys had to say about it. So I thank you both for doing it.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad that I got a really good laugh cry out of Joe's Dollar Tree adventures. Yeah.
No, good. But no, I mean, I wanted to, like I said, see him again after all these years anyways, and of course the one I never seen, which was Revenge, but it was, like I said, it was fun to see, even, you know, like I said, part three had somewhat issues, but I got to finally watch it now this time, since I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Worries me is that when you said you hated, like you didn't enjoy Jaws 3, did you feel even hesitant to watch Jaws of Revenge afterwards?
No, I was ready for it because I knew that wasn't 3D. I just knew that I had bad flashbacks of part three and the 3D incident at the theater. So I went into that thinking, oh, Jesus, God, how bad is it going to be, as bad as I remembered? Which for me, it kind of was. But for Revenge, I was like, well, I know Revenge ain't 3D. I was like, I will give this a shot and see what it's like. And like I said, yes, a corny little bit of, you know, like storytelling at some part, you know, like we said, but otherwise, I enjoyed it. I liked it, and I thought it was good. But, yeah, 3 was a doozy. But I did want to say before, Nathan, before you wrap it up and you're speaking of horror stuff, I posted on my wall about those 5.5-inch Savage World horror figures that Funko was going to be putting out of Jason, Freddy, Leatherface, Pinhead, and Michael Myers. Nathan, you said you pre-ordered those from some website, which they're
They're on various toy websites now. Ultimately, the cheapest option ended up for me being Big Bad Toy Store. But
and how much were they there? $12.99 or what?
I want to say they were $11.99.
Okay, because guys, I was letting people know. I mean, they're going to be coming out in September. Probably it'll be at GameStop and FYE Hot Topic, and they'll probably be only $9 till $11.99. But these are great looking little things, and some people were questioning them. I just wanted to kind of defend them because some people weren't quite sure on them. They said, "Why does Freddy have a hood and not a hat? Why does Jason look weird?"
Well, remember.
No, they thought, why do they look completely different? Remember, these are not supposed to be them just turned into 5.5-inch style like old He-Man figures. It's a fantasy version of them, like a Savage. That's why it's called Savage World, but it's a fantasy take. So they look a little different. So that's why they look like they do. But still, where the hell are you going to get figures for $9.99 brand new? Every one of them has different sculpting. They're durable as hell. It's like the Mortal Kombat ones. Remember I showed you those? You can throw them against a wall and they won't break. And the paint apps are amazing. But
I actually because Target's carrying the Mortal Kombat ones now as well. I did see a Scorpion and his leg was broken off in the packaging, but it looks like it's pretty easy to just snap back.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I was going to say if there's something you ever hear about their breaking. They have the peg system. It just pops on and off. So it's not like it's shattered off and you're just screwed. No, you just go pop and it's right back on. I mean, but because like, hell, wait, I think I just have, right by me, here's a Sub-Zero one. These are Funko.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing as shit, but no, I mean, they just have that pop system. See, I popped it off and it, you can't really see well, but it has a peg, but it's a peg system. And you just pop the thing right back on and you can even interchange. So, these things ain't breaking. I mean, super
because you put the left leg on with the right leg. Because that's what fans want to do.
Well, But either way, these things can pop off easily. And also then, I believe, Conan comes out a month after. So you're going to get those.
God, finally.
There you go, Tyler. Tyler was asking me about that yesterday when I told him about pre-ordering the horror ones. And he's like, when are those coming out? I'm like, I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about Conan or Thundercats. I'm buying.
Conan, I believe, is going to be October, towards late October, maybe begin November. But those will be $9.99 to $11.99. And I think Thundercats are going to try to be out just in time for Christmas. And those will be $9.99 to $11.99. So,
God, why do all the good stuff got to come out at Christmas time? Then I got to try to find means to like pre-order the whole damn set.
Because, man, Christmas. Spend your money.
I mean, it's kind of cool for some people as hell. You get the whole set for $50. Compared to sometimes you might have to buy figures at, 20, 30, or even more. And boy, if you're spending all those, you're going to be spending a lot. But like I said, you can't go wrong with these things. I just can't believe the durability. If you've never held one in your hand, when you do, you'd be like, damn. So I
got to throw this against the wall.
Hey, look at this. Damn, Joe's right. It didn't break.
Is Joe one of those kids that used to shoot his toys with BB guns and shit like that,
Well, and I'm the complete opposite. My brother, who used to like taking firecrackers and putting them into G.I. Joe and figures and blowing them up.
So he was the Sid of your family.
Yeah, and I was the one that treated my stuff like gold. I'd hide it. I'd put it off to the side. My dad would have to scold my brother, say, "Don't you touch your brother's figures," because, that's why I pack ratted everything. That's why I collected the goofiest things you couldn't even imagine. Like when He-Man, when the movie was coming out, Masters of the Universe, I clicked out the newspaper, the ad for Masters of the Universe, and kept it with my stuff. And I still have it in back of me. Just this goofy little thing out of the peep section. Say, Masters of the Universe movie coming, whenever the hell it was. I pack ratted things so terrible. But, all right. Well, you wrap it up, Nathan. Tell everybody what to do, because I'm going to go get me a dollar burrito and show a picture.
Oh, my God. And get like 700 likes.
Yeah. Look at all the likes he gets for that burrito. We could share like brand new score news. Nobody gives a shit. But Joe's got a burrito to show you.
And he only paid a dollar for it.
And it kind of looks like Spike Ore if you put the right lighting on it. Check this out, people.
That's right. Oh, and
God,
yes,
man.
I will have at times. I don't mind the sides of my face being exposed. You're never going to see the full face. But yeah, you'll catch a little bits of my face or chin or something.
Yanish posted in the chat that Joe's face was a little bit exposed when he turned to the side.
It kind of makes you wonder why Joe would even let any of his... I'm not surprised Joe doesn't wear gloves. Like, he doesn't allow any of his skin to show at all. Like,
he just
keeps
himself
concealed.
I should. But hey, and just to let you know, tonight I am debuting my new mask finally. This one, it's being retired, but... my template for this mask that I created is on a different memory card. Yes, I said memory card, that I can't find. I'm like, where the hell is this at? So I had to create an alternate mask. So just for tonight only on Fans of Power, I'm going to have a different mask for probably just one night that I'll be using.
Ooh. One night only, people.
One night only.
It's Cyber Sunday, one night only here, people.
Taboo Tuesday.
Taboo Tuesday.
It'll be tonight.
God, I used to love Nathan just randomly going, doing his Vince impression. Taboo Tuesday.
Chuck's got the belt.
Xbox, tell him to suck it.
Anyway.
Well, go ahead, Nathan.
Good stuff. I know we're referencing stuff that nobody else knows.
People are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah.
Jeez. But thanks everyone that joined us in the chat live. As always, you guys are amazing. I'm thinking about Vince doing his impression now. Check out the links below, like the Facebook page. Check out Joe's custom creations. Hit him up if you want a custom figure. Check out his t-shirts. Check out the Podbean app. There we go. Screwed it up. Podbean link. Podbean link. There's something about bees today that I can't say. I don't know what it is. Follow us on iTunes. Check us out. Pop Culture Network. We're under that banner. Check out the Fans of Power YouTube page. I need to start linking that down below, too. Give that a like and subscribe as well if you want to hear these guys discuss Master of the Universe in great detail.
And ring our bell right down there. Ring that bell right there so you can always get notified when we're going live anytime. Anything's new, you just got to ring it.
I thought I was going to nail that today. I was like, this is going to be the first time, and then just stumbled. Tripped and fell.
That's all right, man. So, yeah, so it was good. I'm out of here.
Joe's hungry. He's just thinking about that burrito. We going to leave him a teaser for next week on anything, or are we just going to leave that a mystery?
I was going to throw out to you guys, too. Like, I just real quick, because I know Joe's got to go, go eat food and stuff. I just random topics. They don't have to be answered now, but I thought Predator 2, Jim Carrey in the 90s, Temple of Doom, The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. I mean, they're just some random thoughts, and TV shows. We're looking at I don't know how we're going to do TV shows, because there's always going to be a show that we pick that one of us or two of us has not seen that much. So, just throwing it out. I know Joe's aching to do, Punky Brewster at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, see, I couldn't bring up some of mine. Would you like to talk about Sanford and Son? And I know everybody's like, what?
I like I love Sanford and Son. What the hell are you talking about?
Well, let's do Sanford and Son. I fucking love Sanford and Son. I've watched it ever since I was a kid.
Not just hear what I said? One of us or two of us may not know as much about the show.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me back this up. Hey, Nathan, you watch much of Sanford and Son?
I have not.
Okay, never mind. All right,
I'm just saying, it's always either to do movies or, I mean, we haven't even done a cartoon series on this show before, or even talking just 80s toys in general, because, discussing lines that, we may not collect or know some of, reminiscing about all the 80s toys in general, from Bionic 6 or Supernatural, Brave Star.
The reason that works is I know you guys have a little more experience with collecting some of the later 80s stuff and into 90s. But yeah, let's talk about maybe some of the 80s, 90s toy lines. Yeah, let's do that.
Didn't Joe and I do an episode without Tyler that was about action figures?
But Tyler wasn't there. We could still do that.
Yeah, but wasn't that about current stuff, though?
No. It was about lines that we would think could be brought back and shit like that.
Let's talk about Uncle Buck. We'll do Uncle Buck. How about that?
we'll figure it out. We'll leave it a mystery for everybody, because we have so many options right now that just got thrown out. I'm sure everyone's like,
Joe didn't bite on any of those. Like, Joe's just like, I don't want to do that. Oh, we could do that. I mean, if you want, that's what Joe does when he doesn't want to do something. He's like, I guess we could.
And then the day of, just be like, I can't. Something else is going on. You guys just go ahead and do it without me.
I'm really mad. My head hurts, and I need water. So you guys,
like I said, we could do Uncle Buck. We could do Revenge of the Nerds. Man, there's so many good comedies from the 80s too and 90s and shit. And oh man,
I think Joe's wanting to do a comedy.
Yeah, let's do a comedy. We'll figure it out.
We'll leave it a mystery.
You guys pick. Look, you guys did the Jaw sequels for me. You guys decide what's next. So,
Rawhead Rex.
That's it. That's going to be one round.
I gave my word. Joe watched the sequel, so I will watch Rawhead Rex. So whenever that's done, permitting, I need it in advance because I need to I don't have a copy of it, and Nathan works nights. I work during the day, so that's gonna be really hard to schedule. But I promise I will watch it because Joe watched the Jaws sequel. So,
all right, sounds good. All right. We'll do that.
Next week's up in the air, but we will we'll see everyone next week, and we'll have some topic. We don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was fun. Yeah, he's got Joe. Yeah, go ahead, show off your. What does that thing even do anyway?
It's like he's hitting the block and it spins and it'll show different things. Like you get 3 coins, 3 stars, 2 mushrooms. It's like how when you play the game trying to match up 3 things together.
Oh yeah, I get the effect. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, is that actually from a Happy Meal? Like, yeah, is that what's going on right now at McDonald's?
I mean, McDonald's, when it came to especially Nintendo stuff, they still always put out great quality toys. But yeah, the one that I stole from that little kid, or I found on the ground.
You stole it.
Yeah, little fucker. But all right.
All right. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, everyone, again for joining us.